We are going to be finishing up our series on hope this week. And I wanted to talk about this again. I wanted to make sure that we hit this as we've been going through it, as we've been looking at the different things. We kind of defined hope biblically. And again, I want to make sure that we do that as we're talking about it today. Biblical hope isn't just a desire for something good to happen. Right? Again, I'm desiring for a good potluck meal tonight, right? I hope that we have a good potluck meal tonight at that thing, okay? Right? That's on you and me, right, to make that desire happen. But I don't have a lot of personal control over a potluck meal. I only have control over what I'm going to bring. Right? So when we talk about hope, we talk about like, I hope that there's ice cream tonight. I hope that there's this. I hope that this happens. And it's this idea of something that's just kind of like a wish. You know, we use the word wish and hope interchangeably when we talk about hope today. But that is not what the Bible means when it says hope. The word wish and hope are not interchangeable in the Bible. Right? Those two words are two very different words and very different things. Hope in the Bible is a confident expectation and a desire for something good based on the moral certainty of who God is. Right? Like, so it's not just, I wish for this. It's that we can have a confident expectation that this is going to happen because I know who Jesus is. Right? Those are two very different things when we talk about hope as a wish and we talk about biblical hope and all that that means for us, right? And so we talked about this from a couple different lenses so far. We've talked about how do we find hope when it seems hopeless? We talked about how to find hope when it's the very message God has given us that seems to be causing some division and separation. And today I want to talk about our hope for the future. This is something that is such a big part of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to hit this. I want to talk about our hope for the future and what comes next. One of the foundation principles of our faith is this kind of hope. The hope of a future, the hope that goes beyond what we see in this world. In the Assemblies of God, which is the denomination that this church is part of, I guess I shouldn't say denomination, they're going to come and smack my hand. We're a cooperative fellowship. All right. We good now? Okay. In the Assemblies of God, we have what is called the 16 fundamental truths, right? It's our core doctrines that make up our pool of doctrine, okay? We have position papers and stuff that go beyond that, but the core of the doctrine that the Assemblies of God chooses to follow, one of the things that as a pastor I have to sign up for and say I won't teach anything against this, is the 16 fundamental truths. We consider them core, as we follow Jesus, as we pursue him, as we look to the future. And one of these truths, one of these 16 fundamental doctrines is what I want to talk about today. This doctrine is called the Blessed Hope. Okay, like that's the name of the doctrine. It comes right off the pages of Scripture, the Blessed Hope. And I just want to talk a little bit about it. This is our hope of a future that Jesus promises us that he paved the way for through his death and resurrection. This isn't just talking about a future here on earth. This is talking about a future in what comes next, right? What happens next, right? All of these kinds of things. There's people that ask this question all the time. There are people that are so terrified of what comes next or these things, but we can find answers for this right in the Bible. We can find answers for what comes next right in the Bible. And I want to encourage you that this is something that we should hope for, not something that we should fear, right? And the reason we can have hope for the future beyond death is not because of who we are. It's because we trust Jesus and we saw what Jesus was able to do, right? Did Jesus die while he was on this earth? Yes, he did. Then what happened? He rose from the death and he conquered sin and death. And then he ascended to heaven and said, you're going to come with me. And that's the hope that we're talking about this morning. That's the blessed hope of the church, is that this world is not all there is. And the end of this time isn't the end. So let's bust into this doctrine. Let's take a look at it, right? Here's the basic statement, right? The resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in Christ and their translation together with those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord is the imminent and blessed hope of the church. When we make doctrine, apparently we have to make it sound confusing and smart. Okay, that's what we do when we do these kinds of things. So what that is saying in real English is that after you die in Christ, you will transform to be with him, and the coming of the Lord is coming, and that is what our hope is in. Right? Is that okay? Can we understand that statement? Do we understand what that is saying? So I want to take a look at scripture, and we're going to be all over in the New Testament today. And so if you've got your Bible, just like crack your knuckles a little bit, get them warmed up, because you're going to be flipping all over the place in there this morning. Get it ready. If you're on your phone, it's easy because you just tap the screen, right? But that's where we're going to be this morning. We're going to be moving back and forth in scripture. And I just want to really take a look at this, because I think it's such an important thing for us to understand. Our hope isn't just found while we are here. Is there hope while we are here on this earth that Jesus Christ is going to do things in our life, work through us, all those kind of things? Is there hope for that? Yes, absolutely. We've spent the last 3 weeks talking about that. If you missed it and now you think I'm talking about there's only hope after we die, you need to go online and listen to those other three and hear me talk about that. But this week I want to talk about, yes, there is so much hope while we are here on this earth, but that's not where our hope ends. Our hope doesn't stop here, right? And sometimes we're gonna wish that God would do something here, and he might have a different plan. And that doesn't mean that our hope ends, right? That doesn't mean that our hope ends. Now, I want to talk about this as hope because I think it should be hopeful, right? When I was a kid, I was terrified of death. And I don't just mean because I was a kid and I didn't understand death. I mean because of the way that the preachers talked about death and salvation scared the junk out of me. Right? I was told over and over again how many ways I could lose my salvation. That's mostly what I heard as a child, was all the ways I could lose my salvation. And I very rarely heard about how confident I could be in the grace of Jesus Christ and who he is. Right? And so anybody watch Thief in the Night? Anybody remember that old movie? A lot of you in here, like it came out after you were born. It's pre when you were born. I remember watching Thief in the Night, and it's all about how this, like, Jesus is going to come and people are going to be left behind, right? And I don't know if this is in the movie or if this is just something like my 7-year-old brain did. I haven't watched it since that one time. But I remember from that movie that what my takeaway from that movie was, if Jesus comes and you're not ready to go to heaven, you're going to have your head cut off. It was real uplifting movie for me. That was my takeaway, right? And I remember coming home, and some of you are going to have stories like this. I remember coming home one day, and everyone was supposed to be home. Like, they were supposed to be there. And no one was. Even my younger brother, who, I mean, like, Jesus and him, I don't know. You know, I'm just joking. That's a joke. Some of you just got it. There we go. Okay. So I come home and I'm like, no one's home. Everyone's supposed to be home from work. I run to the garage. The cars are in there. Right? And like, no one is home. So I am walking around in my I know what house it was in. So I had to like be pre-9 years old. Okay. And so I'm walking around, I'm 8 or 9 years old, and I am like weeping. Cause in my mind, I'm sitting there thinking like, all right, I'm going to have my head cut off. Cause I just missed the rapture. And I'm like so afraid. Like Jesus just came back. I missed it. And now they're going to have to cut my head off. So I got to try and work out. I couldn't apparently live for Jesus as a 9-year-old good enough then, but I got to figure out somehow that I can live for Jesus well enough that they're going to cut my head off so I can go to heaven. That is not the blessed hope. There's nothing blessed or hopeful about that. That is the scary stupid. That is not scripture. That's not how we're supposed to look at salvation. That's not how any of that stuff is supposed to be, right? And yet, I know, as a pastor, I know it's weird. As a pastor, I do things that some of you are like, you've done what? I've been in the room a lot of times when people have died. I'm telling you, I've been in the room when some people were just ready to go meet Jesus. Like they were just ready. And I've met some people that had lived for Jesus their entire life. And they were so afraid to die because they didn't know if they were right with God. And can I tell you, you don't have to walk toward the end of your life with that kind of fear. There is hope in who he is because of who he is and what he has done, not because we have to try and earn some sort of salvation and grace. We can rest in what he has done and find hope in who he is and what he has done. We don't have to earn it. Okay, now should we live for Jesus in a way that looks like we live for Jesus? Absolutely. But do we have to earn salvation? No, the Bible says it's a work of grace that we receive, not earn. Right? And so as we're walking through this, I just want to keep that in mind. This is not about scaring people for death, right? This is about trusting in who Jesus is. Is it okay to love Jesus and still be a little nervous about death? Absolutely. You're still a human being. That's okay. It's okay to have some concerns and some wonders and some maybe even a little bit of, you know, I'm not sure how this is all gonna go, right? Like, I mean, that's okay. But do we need to have any doubt in who Jesus is and that he will be with us? Absolutely, we do not. And so I wanna walk through scripture. I wanna take a look at this. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we're gonna start this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Okay, that's New Testament. We're gonna be all in the New Testament this morning. So I just be ready, but we're gonna hit a whole bunch of them. Because when you build a doctrine, here's one of the things about building doctrine in scripture. Okay, you can build an idea off of one set of scripture in one book of the Bible. You can build an idea, but you can't build doctrine that way. Right? When you build a doctrine, what makes it a doctrine is you can find it in other places in the Bible and back it up consecutively in more places. That's how you build something called doctrine. It's foundational. It's unwavering. It's repeated. It's solid. It's in there, right? And so we're going to show you this, not just in one book and in not one thing, but we're going to show you all through scripture how this works together. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has before this. Here we go. Number two, we keep this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Jesus modeled a way to live through life, including a life of struggle, of pain, and of mockery. And the way that he modeled going through that was keeping his eyes on the future, not just on the present. For the joy set before him, that is not the cross, that is what came after, right? As a matter of fact, in the garden, the night Jesus died, he prays, God, take this cup from me if there's any other way. He prays, if there's any other way to accomplish your will than me dying on a cross, let's do it. But your will be done, not mine. And he went to that cross, not because he was looking forward to dying. He bore that cross, and he bore my sin and your sin on that cross, was humiliated, beaten, and ultimately died. Not for the now, right? Not for the pain of the cross, but for the joy set before him. And now he's in heaven with God, seated at the right hand, waiting for us. Right? That's Jesus models how to go through these hard things in life with our eyes fixed on the future and who God is. I want you to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. It's going to be interesting. Many of the verses we're going to read today, you'll hear at funerals, right? I'm not preaching anyone's funeral today. I just want you to know we're reminding people at funerals of what Scripture says, right? And so we're going to be talking through some of these kind of things today. But we're going to be here in John chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 1 again. John chapter 14, verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Who's talking right now? Jesus. It's really important to understand that. He's talking to his disciples. He's having this conversation with them, right? And he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. Verse 5. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You're going to be with me in heaven. You're going to be in that place with me. And you know how to get there. And Thomas, oh, Thomas, God, I don't know how to read a map. I don't know where you're going. How in the world would I know how to get there? And Jesus says the same way, if you want to trust in God, I'll show you how. You can trust in me. When you trust in me, you're trusting in God. Vice versa, because we are the same. And he says, I am the way to the Father. You know me. You trust in me. You live for me. Keep your eyes on me. And that's the way home. That's hopeful. That's what he's saying to them. You don't have to get it all figured out. You keep your eyes on me. You live for me. You trust in me. And you will join me in heaven. This is the blessed hope. This is a hopeful thing. I remember the very first time I played guitar in front of people. I was, I don't know, 17 or something like that. And like most 17-year-olds, I had all the confidence in the world and none of the talent. You know, we have very talented teenagers here. I'm very grateful for our teenagers. But like, I had just started playing guitar and I thought I was ready because I was a very confident person, maybe bordering on arrogant person. I thought I was ready way before I was ready, right? And we're like in practice and the guy I'm playing with is up there. And I mean, I am playing wrong chords at wrong times and the wrong rhythms on the wrong beats. And I remember him just saying, okay, Jason, you just stop. I need you to watch me. Watch when I make changes. Watch my hands. You don't have to watch. You don't have to pay attention to everything. You don't have to watch all the drummers and the bass players and all. Just watch me. Watch my hands. Right? And all of a sudden it became so simple because I didn't have to worry about 28 things. I just had to watch one thing. And by watching one thing, it made me so much better at what I was doing. And Jesus is saying that to the disciples. There's all this stuff to worry about. There's so many things going on in your world. He's told them and he will tell them here shortly. Most of you are going to die in my name's sake. But what I need you to do through this whole thing is watch me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Keep your eyes on me. and you will join me in heaven with my Father. Right? He breaks it down so simple for them. Watch me. Watch me. And you can hear that echo over and over and over in these things. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. It's our hope. We can trust in God because we trust in Jesus. We watched Jesus die. We watched him rise again. We see it all over the pages of Scripture. We see it in the pages of history. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Watch him. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to start in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. What is Paul addressing in this letter? He's writing to the church, and he's saying, some of you have friends who are believers who have died, and you're going to grieve over that. But you don't have to grieve like people who don't have any hope. What is hope? Is it a wish? No, it's a confident expectation based on who Jesus is. You don't have to grieve the same way as people who don't have hope. We want you to know. Verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on this earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. He is saying, all of us, whether we have died before the return of Christ or whether we are still alive when the return of Christ happens, we'll be caught up to meet with God in the air. What in this verse makes my panic as a child ridiculous? And listen, I'm a child. I'm not trying to mock myself. But what makes that panic so not based on reality? This ain't gonna be done in secret. You're gonna know. When Jesus returns with a shout and a trumpet blast. And then what's going to happen? Those who are dead first, they guns to rise. And then those who are still alive, what's going to happen? We're going to go. There is no reason to panic on whether or not you missed it, maybe. When it happens, you're gonna know. There's not gonna be any doubt. People are gonna try and come up with reasons to explain it away, people that are still left here on this earth. They're gonna try and find ways to normalize what happens. But when millions of people are gone in the blink of an eye, and when a trumpet blasts and everybody on earth hears it, and the Lord returns with a shout, you're not gonna have to wonder if this is it. This is it. That's what it'll be. Not because I say so, but because Scripture says so. And we can look with eager hope. We can look forward to this. Encourage one another with these words. If we have a loved one who has passed away and they are resting in the knowledge of Jesus, they have watched him their whole life and they have given their life to him. When they die, listen, it's sad and it is okay to grieve. And as a matter of fact, we absolutely should grieve, but we don't grieve the same. Because the hope is this short time on earth, surrounded by sin and suffering and sickness and death, is over. And they have just stepped into eternity with the Lord, and it's better. It's better. And it's such an important thing for us to get our heads around. Does it make death easy? No. No. But does it change our outlook when we look toward it? It should. Because it's not the end. It's the stepping off point. It's not the end of good things. It's the beginning of the best things. And it's such an important change in our mindset as we look at that. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 is where we're going to start. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. What have we seen so far in this verse? Right? As we've looked through these verses, what we've seen so far is there is suffering now, but it's nothing compared to the glory of the future. Right? And what we're saying is all of creation, right? Everything, not just people, all of it. Everything is looking forward to that day because since the day of the curse in Adam and Eve, the world has been cursed. And on the day, right, on those times, right, when all of it begins to peel away, it's going to be better. Verse 22, for we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies God has promised us. We're going to keep going for a second, but I want to stop. What did we just read? How many of you have any aches and pains? I told people, this is like the first year I've had to not do something because I'm old and broken. Not playing hockey this year because it really hurts my knee for a couple weeks afterwards. And I don't love hockey, so it doesn't feel worth it to me. I love the pond hockey tournament. I will still be there serving. I will still be there trying to encourage people toward relationship with Jesus. But the hockey itself is not why I have ever been in the pond hockey tournament. But this stupid knee right here, it's just dumb. It hurts and it aches. And someday, it ain't gonna anymore. It's not. Some of you have metal. You're like the bionic men and women. Right? God has granted our physicians such great intelligence. And you've got new hips and knees and shoulders. Some of you have got plates in your body holding stuff together. Some of you are feeling pain every day because nerves are shooting wrong signals or joints are struggling with arthritis. Some of you have struggled with memory loss and dementia. It's temporary. It's real. And it's sad. And sometimes it's scary. But it's all temporary. And there is coming a day. There is coming a day when God will give us full rights as his adopted children, including new bodies that he has promised us. Verse 24, we were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it, but we look forward to something we don't yet have. We must wait patiently and confidently, right? So does everybody on earth get to have this same hope? It's available to them. Everybody on earth, this kind of hope is available to them. But what has to happen for that hope to really register in our lives? Salvation. We must turn our lives over to Jesus Christ. And when we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ and we keep our eyes on him, the whole outlook changes. The whole outlook changes. And someday, even our bodies are going to change. 1 Corinthians 15 is right after Romans. You don't have to turn far. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to start in verse 51. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. Paul is talking to the church here. Let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. What is Paul saying? In a moment, all the corruption, sin and decay, it's gonna be gone. And we'll be transformed into people who will live forever in the presence of Jesus. This is our hope. This is what we can look forward to confidently because of our expectations in who Jesus is. One more, then we're going to be done. Titus chapter 2. My son's named Titus, if you don't get that reference. Yeah. What's up, buddy? Titus chapter 2, verse 11 is where we're going to pick it up. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared. I'm going to actually read this one out of the NIV. I almost always read it out of the New Living Translation. So just heads up, if you're looking at a version where you can just switch back and forth, this one's out of the NIV. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Is salvation available for all people? Are all people saved because of that offer? No. It's offered. You have to receive it, right? The salvation is an offer that anybody and everybody can receive. But we have to choose to walk in it, right? We have to choose to receive that salvation. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our God, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. What Paul is saying, he's writing to Timothy. Timothy, he's trying to teach Timothy how to pastor a church. This is one of the, Titus, not Timothy. This is one of the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Wow, I need to maybe take a break here. He's writing to Titus and he's teaching him how to pastor, right? And he's teaching him what to say and how to do these things. And he wants Titus to know, listen, the grace of God is available for everybody. And that grace is what teaches us to say no while we're surrounded by sin. That grace of God is what teaches us how to live as we walk through a world that is broken and sinful and not living for Jesus. While we wait for what? Jesus is coming. The blessed hope, right? The blessed hope is that return. Right? Where we will be caught up with Jesus. That blessed hope. While we're here, we're going to be continuing to be surrounded by things that are going to try and make us live in our lives in a way that doesn't please Jesus. And the Holy Spirit inside us is going to guide us and help us to lead lives that is how he wants us to live while we are looking toward where our real hope is found. And that is not in this world. Someday, we are going to depart this world. And we are going to be caught up in the sky with Jesus Christ. And there will be no sin and no death. There will be no decay and brokenness. Because we will be surrounded by the glory and grace of Jesus Christ. That is our hope, church. We've talked about it. Hard things will happen on this earth. Sometimes the very message of Jesus is what's going to cause some of those hard times because people don't want to hear it. We can hold on to Jesus through that. Sometimes we're going to go through hard things in life. It's actually told us in Scripture, you will go through hard things. And in the middle of those hard things, we can hold on to hope and who Jesus is. And through all of it, our hope isn't just that our situation on earth gets better. We can have hope in that. But the ultimate hope for a Christian is not that our situation on earth is going to be easier, but that we will be with Jesus forever. And that is something we can hang on to with both hands. In the middle of scary and trying circumstances, in the middle of those times when you're sitting there and you get bad news. In the middle of those times when you're sitting there and you hear something you didn't want to hear. In the middle of those times when you're going through life and all of a sudden something slides in a curveball and something you never saw coming. Something you couldn't have possibly planned for. Our hope is not just in a resolution of that situation. Our hope is that that situation is temporary and our life with Jesus is forever. Forever. I want you to hear me. If you're watching online, shoot me an email, contact us on our website, however you're watching, get to me if you need to talk about this. If you're here in this room right now, I want you to hear this. This hope is possible for everyone. We just read that the glory of God, the grace of God that offers salvation is available to everyone. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to get things figured out first. You don't have to be from the right side of the tracks. You don't have to have all this stuff going for you. All you need to do is be ready to accept the grace he's already offering you. And if you're in this place and you have never chosen to Jesus before, I want to offer you a chance to do that this morning. And if you're in this place, after we do that, if you're in this place and right now you're in one of those situations and you're just like, scary. It's hard. I don't know what's going on today. I want to pray with you too. I want to pray that God takes care of you here on this earth because I believe he can. But what I really want to pray for you this morning is that you hold on to the hope and who he is and know that no matter what it is and no matter how it works out here on earth, this earth is not the end. We will be with Jesus. So I'm going to ask everybody in this room to just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Just want to honor people's decisions here. If you're out there today and you have never chosen Jesus, you don't have this hope that I've been talking about. You haven't chosen Jesus. I'm talking about relationship with Jesus. And you're like, I know him. I've heard of him. But I can't say I'm watching him. I can't say I'm living for him. If that's you today and you have not chosen Jesus, but today you want to live for Jesus, you want to give your life over to him and do things his way, not your way, I'd like you to just slide up a hand and I want to pray with you. I'm not going to linger here long. I'm not going to call you up here and embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. All right, guy, I see you. You can put your hand down. Is there anybody else in here? Yep. Anyone else? All right, everybody, I want you to give me your eyes for a second. Look at me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer because I don't know if you know how to talk to Jesus this morning. Okay, so I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. If you're in here and you've chosen Jesus, I want to encourage you to repeat after me as well, just because it's a lot. Just take some of the edge off for two people this morning, right? If you're in here and you haven't chosen Jesus and you're not ready to, you have our full blessing to not repeat after us, right? We don't want you to promise anything to Jesus that you're not ready to follow through. We don't want to make you do anything. I pray and I hope that you choose Jesus. It's the best decision you will ever make in your life. But we're not going to make anybody do it, right? So I'm going to just have you bow your heads again and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you were one of the ones that raised your hand, I want you to repeat after me. If you were in this place and you've chosen Jesus, I'd like you to repeat after me as well. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for dying on that cross and rising again. I'm a sinner and I'm stuck. I need you. I need your forgiveness, and your salvation, and your hope. I want to walk with you, Jesus. Lead my life. In your name, amen. Give it up, church. The Bible says heaven's throwing a party right now, so I always figure we might as well too, right? Okay, so here's the last thing with that. If you made that decision today, I want you to talk to somebody. Talk to the friend that invited you. Talk to somebody that you know that's here. Come and talk to me if you have questions. That's such an important thing. I just want to encourage you to do that. And we're going to pray for one more thing before we go. And so I'm going to just ask you to sit, to bow your heads again, close those eyes. And I just want to give people a chance to respond to this. If you're in a spot in your life right now where something is going on in your life, and man, I'm telling you, the curveball happened, or the suffering is there, or the pain is there, something is going on in your life, and it has taken your focus, it's distracting, it's something you don't want in your life, and you've been struggling to find the hope in Jesus Christ, I want to give you a chance to just lift a hand, and I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call everybody forward this morning, but I want to do that. So if you can just bow your heads again, close your eyes. If that's you, if you're out there and you just want somebody to pray with you this morning, like I need to refocus my hope on that again this morning, I'd like you to just slide a hand up and I want to pray with you. All right. They're going up all over the room. You can slide them down. Is there anybody else? I want to make sure that we, yeah, I see you. Jesus, I'm so grateful for this hope that we have. I'm so grateful for you. And I'm so thankful that we can look to the future and all that you have for us. Right now, we're stuck on this earth. And there's people in this room all over the place that raised a hand, or they got a curveball, or or they're struggling with something going on in their circumstances. I don't know all these stories, but you do. You know each and every one of these people. You know each and every detail of their circumstances. You are more aware than even they can be, because you know all. So this morning, in the midst of the struggle, this morning in the midst of the confusion and doubt and fear and all those kinds of things, whatever it is in people's lives, the pain, whatever it is, God, we come to the one who knows all, and we come to the one who can do all. And we pray, Jesus, for divine and miraculous outcomes in these situations, even while they're still here on earth. We pray for miracles this morning in their lives. And beyond that, Jesus, I pray that you help each and every one of them this morning to settle in and to just lean into you again, knowing that regardless of outcomes on earth, they will be with you while on earth, and we will all be with you when we choose you after. Help them to hold on to the hope in who you are. You are good, and we trust in you. It is in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.